step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 729. I am Lisa Sheps. I'm joined today by my guest co-host, Ms. Patty Neftivin.
Hello there.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we always do on Wednesdays in the afternoon, KOOP.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
I'll give you stars in the moon.
It is Wednesday, July 19th. 2023. On the show today, we have Dr. Mista Productions and their production of Lizzie, the musical. Then we're going to talk to Broke Thespians and their production of Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka. And of course, we're going to have lovely and lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Columbus, Ohio. Stick with us.
But I was sure that
well, hello, Patty Neftivin. You love that song?
I do. I love me some songs for a new
world. Well, welcome welcome to co-hosting.
No, thank you.
This is your second or third time to do this, I think.
Something like that.
Well, welcome. We're going to hear more about you in just a second. But first, I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar. I just really love that show. And I want to reach way back and do a shout out to Lori Darling and Around the Town Sounds. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast, you know, you really need to check out KOOP, and you don't have to be in Austin to check KOOP out. You can go to KOOP.org and listen to our amazing lineup of shows. We are non-commercial radio, so nobody's telling us what to play. I can do whatever I want.
Some more songs for a new world.
I can play songs for a new world. And I played that specifically for you, Patty Neftivin, because I know you love that show.
Thank you.
Those people that aren't familiar with it, that's Jason Robert Brown, who is the currently the darling of Broadway.
Has been for a minute,
but currently right now with Parade playing and rave reviews and all the really wonderful stuff that's going on. So happy for him. So people, if they don't know, I'm going to tell them that you are the co-artistic director at Ground Floor Theater.
Yes, I am, along with one Lisa Sheps.
Yeah, well, I don't know her. Oh. I'm sure she's nice.
She's all right.
She's got a beautiful name. She's got a gorgeous voice. Oh, excuse me. Well, wonderful. Let's just jump right into it. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us in the theater. In the studio, we have Stella Frey-Ginsburg.
Hi.
This is your first time on my show, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, good. A lot of times I say that and they go, no, Lisa, I've been on this show about eight times.
No,
and
I
can't remember. Excellent. And then our very, very dear friend, Mariana Tolomash. Hi, Mariana.
Hi, Lisa.
What, you know, yeah, well, why am I not hearing you? Say that, try that again.
Hi, Lisa.
I turned on the wrong microphone. let's just jump right into stuff that I want to talk about. You know what? Before I do that, I just need to tell everybody that the views and opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not that necessarily that of Co-op, its board of directors, or staff. It's merely our opinion here on the radio. And one of the things I want to talk about right away, well, before we do that, SAG after strike. What do you guys think of the actor strike that's going on right now? Not really theater per se, but it's theater tangential.
Do you have anything you want to say?
Agree?
I think
or
it's great. I agree.
Yeah,
okay. I agree. I think actors, all creatives, should be paid more for their labor. And I'm really glad that we're doing something about it.
Yeah. So the issues around SAG and AFTRA, which SAG is film and AFTRA is basically TV. They've merged into one union. And I have to say, sideline, tangentially, I love their logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love their logo. Why, Equity, are you listening? Change your logo. Make it cool. Yeah, not cool. Anyway, they're striking basically for residuals and higher pay.
Mm-hmm. And but protections about AI.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And protections about AI.
There's a lot they've got.
Yeah, well, that AI thing, that's a whole scary can of worms that everybody's going to have to deal with. And mm-hmm. I really... That's going to be wackadoo. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I'm glad I'm not going to be alive for when it's like when they take over.
Yeah, oh, we'll bring you back.
No,
we'll bring you back with the AI.
Please don't. I'm tired. I want to rest. So residuals. You know, residuals have always been funny. So I've been in this business a long time, and I've known a lot of people. And I never did film and television, but I had many, many friends that did. And to see some of the comically small checks that would come across. And that was back in a day when we didn't have streaming. And it's the streaming issue and the vast hugeness of the content that's out there, and the fact that these streaming companies are losing money at the same time. You know, I'm sure they're top executives are making loads of money.
Oh, they are.
but anyway, yeah, so SAG-AFTRA is on strike along with the writers' union. So those of us who like to watch our television, too bad for you.
Yeah. Things are going to get sad.
Yeah, things are going to get sag. never mind. Put on pump. So that's that strike. And hopefully, so this is actually the first time that SAG, or that the actors have struck at the same time as the writers since, I think, 1930?
Oh, I thought it was 60.
Or 60.
It might be one of those.
It was, oh God, what was the number one TV show was Gunsmoke. So it was 1960. 60.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't Ronald Reagan.
Does Gunsmoke mean anything to the two of you?
No.
Can't say it does.
What? Yeah, Ronald Reagan may have been the president of SAG at the time.
I believe he was the president of SAG.
Yeah, Gunsmoke. We used to play that as a kid. We would say, let's play Gunsmoke, and then we would Charlie horse the other person and say, you be Chester. Chester walked with a limp in the show.
Wow.
That's it. Anyway, I know. It was bad. So here's the other thing I want to talk about that sort of, I talk about this a lot on the show, so I apologize for those of you who are tired of hearing me say this. But the New York Times opinion section had an opinion by Isaac Butler, who is the author of The Method, How the 20th Century Learned to Act. And basically, the very first line of his opinion piece is, the American theater is on the verge of collapse. And it is. I am so tired of picking up my proverbial newspaper, which is really an iPhone, and seeing another theater in the regions closing.
Yeah.
And we're hearing, you know, we hear that Broadway is doing strong. Broadway is actually back to before pre-pandemic levels. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the country is hurting. Mm-hmm. So just listen to some of these things. Public Theater announced that it's suspending the Under the Radar Festival. The Humana Festival, which was amazing and got and started a lot of playwrights' careers published a book every year of those, has been gone for a few years now. Mm-hmm. Gone. Playwrights specifically noted in this article are Lynn Nottage and Will Eno. That's gone. It says canceled this year, but I'm pretty sure it's gone. The Williamstown Theater Festival will only do one produced work. Signature Theater, that's playwrights have had Edward Albee, August Wilson, Tony Kirshner, Annie Baker, delaying the start of its season and then only doing three plays versus its normal six. Oregon Shakespeare Festival announced a second round of emergency fundraising. The Looking Glass Theater in Chicago is halting production for the year. Brooklyn Academy of Music laid off 13% of its staff. I mean, this just goes on and on and on.
And the public just laid off 19% of its staff as well.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it angers me so much. And one of the things that this article says is that in this writer's mind, this crisis requires federal intervention. And I agree, because we had a history during the New Deal. We had the oh my God, I forgot the name of it, the Federal Theater Project, which actually formated the Negro Theater Project, and we were actually doing quite well in theater in the regions and in the nonprofit theaters up until, not all that long ago. 2005. In 2005, there were more than 1,200 nonprofit theaters, and there was a lot of public and private funding. Well, that's all gone.
Disappearing.
We had, during, I think, the Reagan administration or the Bush administration, they cut funding to NEA, slashed those budgets. And I don't know about the rest of you, but it makes me feel certainly unappreciated mm-hmm. as an artist. Absolutely. And as somebody that gives to the greater community. Mm-hmm. That is what theater does, and I think it's a vital and necessary thing. What are your opinions about all this? I mean, I have a feeling I know what your opinions are, but do you have anything you want to add? Right.
Well, I have friends who are artists in Europe, and the support they get on that side of the world is amazing. They can mm-hmm. actually be working artists, have families, have a home. They are regular people. Here, we scrape by, mm-hmm. especially here in Austin. As an artist, you are working a regular job and mm-hmm. doing yes. theater on top of it, and it's nigh on impossible.
Here's an interesting statistic. For the fiscal year of 2024... the Biden administration requested $211 million for the NEA. That's about 63 cents a person. In England, they distribute $10 for every person.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's 2,000%.
That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, the two of you are younger than the two of us. What are your feelings about this?
Well, personally, since I haven't moved out of the house yet, I'm about to leave for college. So I'm not, I'm just starting to get paid for theater.
Yep.
It's been, just an educational experience for me up until, this year since I turned 18. And I see my peers and fellow actors that are older than me and the amount that they have to do in order to be able to do what they love.
Sure.
Outside and just to support themselves it makes me upset because I just think that theater needs more money and the world doesn't realize how important theater is. And I think that it's unfortunate.
Well, the world thinks, and we've talked to people that listen to the show are going to be bored with me saying it, but I don't care because it's important. The world thinks that because we are artists and we are arts organizations, mm-hmm. it's okay that we live under a living wage.
Mm. Yeah.
That it's okay for us because we're starving for our craft, which we love and are passionate about. Mm-hmm. But I have continually argued that everybody is passionate about what they do. Accountants mm-hmm. are passionate yeah. about accounting.
Yeah.
Health organizations are passionate about health. But because we're artists, we think that and throughout the years, it's been romanticized about starving
absolutely.
For your craft. And I'm calling bull dookie on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's jargon. it's just an interesting thing. And then one of the things I found interesting about the NEA, they changed the rules mm-hmm. So that the NEA cannot give to individual artists except in the field of literature and cannot fund the general operating expenses of arts organizations. I mean, Patty and I just dealt with this yesterday.
Yeah.
They should. I mean, part of the health of an arts organization is to get those operating costs under control. And we want to support and lift up our individual artists. And so our lovely right-leaning government says, no, we don't need to do that. One of the things that Congress declared a long time ago, in 1965, in the Johnson administration, when they brought the National Foundation of the Arts and Humanities Act, which created the NEA, they said, quote, democracy demands wisdom and vision in its citizens. It must therefore foster and support a form of education and access to the arts and the humanities designed to make people of all backgrounds and wherever located, masters of their technology and its not unthinking servants. And so once upon a time, our government cared about the arts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. Here at Co-op, we are not allowed to tell people what to do. We are not allowed to compel people to, but I'm just going to make a very strong suggestion that you read this article. It's entitled, One of America's Proudest Cultural Institutions is Imploding Before Our Eyes. I wrote on it, read this. And you can find it in the New York Times, or you can go to offstageonair.com when we post the show, and there'll be a link. All right. Well, now that we've talked about that, we don't have any more time for anything else. I'm teasing. Interestingly, talking about funding, the Schubert Organization gave out, and I should say the Schubert Foundation is not a government organization. They're a private foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They just gave out $37.9 million in grants.
Yay. Wow.
Around the country. That represents 635 nonprofit theaters. I wasn't able to find a list of that, but I will say this proudly. There's at least one of those theaters in Austin, Texas, by the name of Ground Floor Theater, received that
Yay.
Funding. So I'm just the Schubert and I should say about the Schubert Organization, one of the things that this money is unrestricted. It says to us as arts organizations, you know how to spend your money. Mm-hmm. Let us just give you the money and you spend it the way you feel that you need to.
Right.
That's lovely. Yeah,
so that is really nice. Kudos to the Schubert Organization. Their numbers have gone up every year. So,
fantastic.
So we love that. I approve. American. Yeah, okay. So has anybody seen Theater Camp yet?
I have not, but I want to.
So bad.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh.
It's this new movie. It has Ben Platt in it, and it's essentially like a summer theater camp, and it's just I think the shortest way I could put it is just a big nostalgia and love fest for theater kids all around.
It's just it's like the common experience of like growing up in theater and mm-hmm. like what that is and all of its glory. And
it's the hardest thing you'll do and the best thing you'll do.
And the good news is the movie is doing really, really well.
That's really
awesome. Here's a little rundown. Tony Award winner Ben Platt and Molly Gordon star as lifelong best friends and drama instructors at a rundown theater camp in upstate New York that's imperiled when its founder, Amy Sedaris, lapses into a coma due to an unfortunate strobe light incident.
Oh, my gosh.
Her tech bro son, Jimmy Tatro, arrives to run the property, but he's clueless. So staff and students band together to stage a masterpiece to keep their beloved summer camp afloat. This was written by Noah Galvin and Gordon Lieberman and Ben Platt. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Also, in the newspaper of record, New York Times, Alexa Selesky did an article that says they put on a show at camp and it changed their lives. And I will say that they talked about a lot of these summer camps. I never went to theater camp. It wasn't in my... Did you, Patty?
I did a little two-week... They called it a camp, but it was just going to a school in San Antonio.
Oh, San Antonio. What about y'all? Have y'all gone...
I grew up doing local Austin community theater.
Okay.
Which would be like a one-week camp or at most like a one-month camp.
Right.
And a lot of times like... Those same companies who I adored growing up with, if you also worked there in like middle school or high school, that could cover your tuition for the camp.
Oh, that's
but
great.
I've never gone to like the stay away camps.
Right.
So I went to TAP camp.
Oh.
Oh, with with Impact Arts.
Yes.
Now called Impact
yep.
Arts.
I did like 7 years ago maybe.
Oh, maybe. Oh, I did something at TAP camp. Uh-huh. I was some kind of instructory thing. I don't remember what it was. People here may know the Adderley School, which is here in mm-hmm. Austin, but it's out of LA. And both Molly Gordon and Ben Platt met there at the Adderley School theater camp. I didn't almost go. Because I didn't come in a theater family, my mom kept talking about Interlochen in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I didn't go.
Oh.
Anyway, this article just asks people their memories of band camp, or band camp, of theater camp. I'm just going to read some of them. Ben Platt, who I said went to the Adderley School, part of what he said, for queer kids like me, it was where I was the most completely embraced. Mm. Jason Robert Brown is in here. Andrea Burns, who did In the Heights, went to a camp called French Woods, which I'm unaware of. Do y'all know that one?
I've heard of it.
I don't think I do.
Going to this wonderland where I met other kids who loved this as much as I did gave me a sense of belonging. Celia Keenan Bolger, who went to Interlochen, said, the thing that has kept me in theater for so long is that sense of belonging. I felt most like myself when I was at this camp. Rachel Chafkin, who directed Hadestown and my favorite, Indecent. She wrote, for queerness of all kinds, it was a haven. It nurtured my curiosity. And on. Do we see a theme here?
I think we do.
I'm seeing a theme.
Yeah. So just what a wonderful way for kids to feel included, because a lot of us were kind of outcasty growing up. All right. We're plumb out of time, or darn close to it. I brought this for you, and actually we'll talk about this a little bit, Patty. It's the show called Hello Kitty Must Die.
What? Oh, I've heard of this show.
Yes. It's part of the Edinburgh Fringe this year.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly who, but there's another Austin... Austin actor who's like helping produce and manage that show right now.
I did not
now.
Know that. No. But it stars Amy Kuhn and Julie Lee. It's playing at the Pleasance Courtyard on August 2nd through 27th. The story follows high-achieving lawyer Fiona Yu, played by Sammy Ma, who is in Rent, as she combats outdated stereotypes of Asian women and seeks her own version of the American dream and revenge. With anger fueling her and making her dream come true, Fiona goes on a journey of sex, violence, and stilettos as she tears into the expectations placed on Asian women. It's a journey of self-discovery that affirms women can be anything they want to be. Even murderers.
That sounds incredible.
That sounds familiar.
That sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yes.
And the last thing I want to talk about, because we're going to play a little bit of a piece of this music. Has anybody seen Tommy the Musical?
I have. It's been on my mind.
You got to watch. It's great.
Well, so Tommy the Musical, and for reference, I remember buying, getting the Who's Tommy album before it was a musical. It was like one of the first albums I ever got. It was given to me by Ellen Tumim. I listen to it a lot. Anyway, it's being revived right now by Des Makanoff in Chicago. Oh. It's actually about to close. Runs through August 6th.
My partner just saw it, actually.
At the Goodman.
Yeah. Gosh, I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, and it was just interesting talking about... how it needs to be updated. It's 30 years old, but it doesn't really. But one of the things they did talk about was Pete Townsend and Des Makanoff talked about, do they want to update the language to be more PC? For instance, they talk about the deaf, dumb, and blind kid. And dumb is really considered a pejorative term for people that are nonverbal. But they decided... because it's contemporaneous, they decided to keep that stuff in there. They did get rid of, there's a thing with Uncle Ernie and Tommy's Holiday Camp, which is very not good. Yeah. Very kind of overly sexualized. Yeah. They cut that and they made the Acid Queen a little less druggy.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
The Acid Queen, less druggy.
A little less druggy. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but her song is...
Well, a little, yeah.
Sing that song.
I would
love to sing that.
But that's interesting. So we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to a little bit of Tommy. We're going to listen to Sensation, sung by Bobby Cannavale, I believe.
Really?
I could be wrong. Oh, no, he did not play Tommy. He played something else. So I don't remember who's singing it. But here it is, and we'll be right back.
Are you overwhelmed? room as I approach you. Make your lungs hold breath.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa and Patty Neff Tiven. We're having a lovely day. I should mention, for those of you not in Austin, Texas, it's hot here.
Oh, how is it?
It's too darn hot.
It's not.
I'd like to sup with my baby tonight.
Yep.
Mm. Wait,
so refill the cup with my baby tonight. Anyway, let's jump right into that murder and musical, Lizzie, the musical, and Dr. Mister's production. We've been talking to them all afternoon here. I'm going to reintroduce Stella Fry Ginsburg.
Hello.
And you play Lizzie, right?
I do indeed.
Yeah. and Mariana Tolomash, who plays Alice Russell.
Hi.
So, Lizzie the Musical. This is also Dr. Mista's return. We have not seen Dr. Mista in a while.
Since 2016.
And I should say that was originally going to be at Ground Floor Theater, and now it's not, clearly.
It's not.
it is being played at Austin Playhouse. Mm-hmm. So, why don't you tell us about the show? What is it? Who's Lizzie Borden? Never heard of her.
You've never heard of her. Well, Lizzie Borden, she lived in the 1800s and with her older sister Emma Borden and Abby Borden, her stepmother, and Andrew Borden, her father, and they lived in a house together. And she
killed him. Well, we're getting a lot of details here.
And she killed him.
She killed him.
With a hatchet.
With an axe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Through 22 wax.
Indeed.
I think, and I'm not really familiar with the story, mm-hmm. and I've got the basic understanding, and I haven't seen Lizzie the Musical. In hindsight, it was a little misunderstood, isn't it? Her whole story?
There's a lot
we
of
still don't know
different
everything.
There's a lot of differing information because of how long ago this happened, and just like there was, it's like, it was all word of mouth, and so we don't know who lied, and we don't know what's actually
nobody
true.
Ever lies.
Nobody lies.
Nobody lies.
No. But it's just, yeah, it's a very complex story. It's very complex.
Wonderful. And Mariana, who do you play?
I play Alice Russell, which is Lizzie Borden's next-door neighbor, which she was a real person also in mm-hmm. real life. Alice Russell, in the case of Lizzie Borden, is the one who tells the court that she saw Miss Borden burn that dress, which is one of the hard pieces of evidence that they consider if Lizzie Borden for murdering her parents. Mm-hmm. But in our story as well, Alice Russell, well, she kind of wishes she was Alice.
Yeah,
she wishes she was Alice Borden. She is her next-door neighbor, but also her secret lover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yep.
And this is a musical.
It is.
I don't know the music, as I said.
Ooh, that's, it's a rock musical.
It's a rock musical.
Intense rock musical.
Yes. Which you expect from Dr. Mista.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's amazing. So how is, rock is a style of singing that's mm-hmm. very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mariana and I have worked together, and I know her voice. Wouldn't have necessarily mm-hmm. called it a rock voice. So my question, and I'm going to assume that maybe if you have theater background, it's kind of the same thing. How did you prepare for singing rock?
It's actually my favorite thing to sing ever. And I've actually been told a few times that I sound like Ann Wilson when I sing. Mm-hmm. So I grew up singing Heart, and I grew up a lot around rock and roll because my dad is a super big Deadhead. And so it's just kind of always been what I've been singing a lot. And recently I've got like the opportunity in my senior showcase. I sang Ramble On by Led Zeppelin. So I've kind of just like that door has always been open.
You sang Ramble On by Led Zeppelin?
I did indeed. Okay. Up a bit higher than the original.
People can't see me, but I just rolled my eyes.
But so it's kind of like that's my happy
It's
singing.
Your happy place.
Yeah, it's my
Mariana,
happy place.
What about you?
I would say Alice's music, mm-hmm. if close to rock, would be closer to like a ballad.
Yes.
Rock, okay. So I'm able to have more musical theater pieces.
Mm-hmm. More of a Dreamboat.
Yeah,
anytime.
More of like a dream ingenue mm-hmm. piece.
Yes.
But for preparing for a lot of the ensemble pieces or even some of the more rockier stuff within the show, I do know myself as a vocalist, tend to mimic quite a bit. So preparing for this months prior when I was up in New York for school, I just started listening to a lot more rock music. And starting to mimic with my voice teacher those inflections to then find my own voice within that.
Amazing. And how big is the cast?
There's six of us.
There's six.
Six? Which is small.
Yeah,
it's small.
Yeah.
All
you wouldn't think of it.
Cast. Well, originally, usually the show is only four people, mm-hmm. but we have two ensemble members who are also understudies.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Added some people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you said all women?
Mm-hmm. All women.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Who else is in the cast?
Oh, we have Libby Detling. Libby Detling, who plays
Bridget Sullivan.
Bridget Sullivan.
I'll just help.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we have Leslie Hollingsworth, who plays my older sister, Emma Borden.
We have Maddie Seib, mm-hmm. who is the Alice and Lizzie understudy, mm-hmm. who's also in the ensemble. And we also have Jessica Workman, who is the Bridget and Emma understudy in the ensemble.
Wonderful. And your director was Michael McKelvey.
Michael McKelvey.
Who we love. The man, and the myth, the musical legend. Director, Dr. Ellie Jarrett Shaddles.
Come on,
she's
going to
kill me for
too.
That. I work with her all the time, who I love. So amazing people to work with.
The most wonderful.
Yeah.
Group.
How, you know, I'm guessing I don't want to bring my young kids to this.
Well, I mean, hey,
up to your discretion
to you.
On your children.
I feel like a lot of it can go over kids' heads.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe
we had kids. Come.
Okay.
And Leslie and Libby's two daughters. Mm-hmm. There's a little cameo in the show. Mm-hmm. There's a projection at the beginning if you come and see.
Mm-hmm. When you come and see it, right?
Yeah. When you come and see it, you'll see them in the projection.
Yeah.
They are the daughters within like the cast, and they came and saw it, and they know every word apparently, and they love it.
Is there a lot of dancing? Is there choreography? Is there a fair amount of dancing?
No dancing.
Yeah, those are the kind I like the best as a choreographer.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Is there an intermission? Okay, so it's two hours, 2 hours, 15?
Hour 45. Mm-hmm.
With intermission?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, we love that.
Yeah, you'll definitely be out of the theater by 10.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, well, good, because my bedtime is 10.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So y'all opened last weekend, mm-hmm. did you not?
Yes.
Yeah. How was it?
It was
incredible.
Really great. I mean, we've had amazing... Like, we've only had really
audience
wonderful
reception,
things.
Audience reception, feedback.
Yeah, it's said.
You got a really nice review in Broadway World.
We did. Yeah. It was really lovely.
They like the costumes.
The costumes.
It was a very...
Glenda Wolf.
Glenda Wolf is just incredible.
I was just in a meeting with yesterday.
She is just a wonderful human being, mm-hmm. and her talent is incredible. The way that she follows the story through costumes, how we all start in mm-hmm. huge, like... 1800s gowns were
what I'm wearing right now.
Oh, yeah, exactly what you're wearing right now.
Thank you. That's what I
yes,
thought.
Good like radio. We the amount of layers that we have on at the beginning of the show is very symbolic towards the show itself, and mm-hmm. closer to Act Two, the layers they're gone, which is very symbolic. And she does a wonderful job of. Doing
there's
that.
Very tights, cool. bloomers, corsets, blouse,
more
long
corsets.
Skirt, another skirt underneath, mm-hmm. wigs, gloves.
Lovely. The perfect show for the summer.
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
Exactly what I'm wearing right now.
Yes.
Well, great. And y'all are at the Austin Playhouse, new temporary space mm-hmm. over on the drag, which mm-hmm. is great. I will tell folks, you know, people get scared. People like me are scared to go to the drag because it's hard to find parking.
It is.
But it's actually quite easy for this show. There's parking garages
yes,
nearby.
There's
street
like
parking.
Five on the yep. one street.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't let that scare you off. So you're playing now. When do you close?
We close July
on the 31st.
On the 31st of July. 31st or 30th?
Oh, 30th.
The
30th. My apologies.
Thank you, no
30th
problem.
Of July.
We want it to go longer.
Yeah, we'll just keep going. You tell Laura over at Austin Playhouse that I want y'all to just keep going.
Well, okay. I'll send you the word.
Yeah. Folks can get information at drmista.org.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you spell it correctly, because I never do, it's DOCTUHMISTUH.org.
Dr. Mista.
Stella and Mariana, thank you so much for coming
thank
on
you
the
so
show.
Much for having us.
Mariana, you are in second year, going into your third year
I'm
of
going
college?
To my third year of college at Marymount Manhattan. It mm-hmm. is on the Upper East Side of New York City.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're on the East Side, but mm-hmm. Everything else about that was really good. And you are just graduating high school?
I just graduated high school.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
And where are you going to college, and are you doing theater?
Yeah, I'm going to Rider University for BFA Musical Theater.
Okay, where's Rider University?
Lawrence Township, New Jersey.
Oh, wow. Lovely. I know Lawrence Township. I'm not familiar with that school, though. Well, good. Well, I'm jealous of y'all going to the Northeast because mm-hmm. that's my look about.
Mm-hmm.
But thank y'all so much. Good luck with this show and good luck with the rest of your career. I'm so happy. Make sure you're a triple threat. I'm just going to say that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Study to be a triple threat.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
Of course.
Good to see
Thank
y'all.
You.
You too.
Okay, that was Stella Fry Ginsburg and Mariana Tolomash of Dr. Mistress Theater production of Lizzie the Musical, playing now through the 30th at Austin Playhouse. For more information, you may visit drmista.org. And this is Sweet Little Sister from Lizzie.
Oh, yes, it's a good
I was a trembling child. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and...
It's Patty Neff Tibbin.
What a great... I am so proud of all of those guys, but Mariana Tolomash, who's, you know, we discovered her.
It was all us.
It was all us.
Put her on that road to success.
But yeah, I'm just so happy to see everything that she is doing and is going to do. So mazel tov all around.
Remember her name. She's going places.
Before we get into our local section, we're joined by new people. So let me introduce all of those folks. And I'm going to actually turn their microphone on so we can hear them. We have Mitchell Oden. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi.
We have Adrian Castanon Jr. And Jack Monzingo.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. We'll reintroduce you when we're here to talk to you. But I want to give you the opportunity to join in this conversation if you feel like it.
Yeah.
So what's going on locally right now is... I've turned the page. One of the things that I wanted to highlight locally... is Magnolia Musical Theater, which is a new musical theater company created by folks including Andrew Cannata. And this was out of when Zilker did Little Shop of Horrors out in Bee Cave. So now they're back at Zilker Hillside. But Bee Cave people in the Galleria wanted to have a theater. So they talked to Andrew and they started a theater company. And this is their first year. And they are doing a production of Beauty and the Beast, which is open now. And it plays through August 13th.
And it's at the Hillside at Zilker?
No. It's in Bee Cave.
In Bee Cave.
Yeah. Okay. So it's where the Hillside performed during COVID because they couldn't perform at Zilker.
Right.
And as I always say that, you know, I don't. And I'm sorry, because y'all are doing an outdoor show, correct?
Oh, right, yeah.
Mama doesn't sit outside in the summer in Austin, Texas.
No.
Just you wait.
Every year I say I'm going to go out to the park and watch the Zilker Hillside, and every year I don't.
Try working it. I did that one time.
Yeah, you
running
did
up
props
and down that
for
hill.
Wizard of Oz.
I did.
Yes,
running
did.
Up and down that hill, about died. Yeah. I just changed clothes 3 times a day.
And it wasn't as hot as it is this year back then.
Can't imagine.
Beauty and the Beast. I have to say, Andrew Cannata, they are going to be on the show, I think, next week or the week after. Hold your ears, Andrew. I'm not crazy about Beauty and the Beast as a show. I'm just going to say that right out loud.
I don't think Beauty and the Beast was made for you.
Not. And I have specific reasons why I think that, and I'm happy to discuss those with anybody that wants to. But I'm sure I've said it here on the show before. But again, more information, magnoliamt.org. Magnolia MT is Magnolia Musical Theater. So go check that out, out in Bee Cave, which is a nice little... It's not a terrible drive, not that far. It's not like going to San Marcos or anything.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, other things playing. So if y'all remember last week, we were in this like middle space where things were just closing, now opening. We have a load of things that are going on.
Yeah, look at that.
We just talked to the folks from Lizzie the Musical. They're playing through the 30th at Austin Playhouse. Cold Frame Collective is doing Romeo and Juliet that closes on the 22nd. And if you want to get your fill of Romeo and Juliet... Overlapping, starting on the 21st, is Romeo and Juliet at City Theater. So, you might want to just make on the 21st, make a day of it, go see both of them and compare.
I've never heard of this new work. I must go check it out.
Yeah, I've never heard of it either. It's about a new up-and-coming playwright out of Boise, Idaho. So, The Real Inspector Hound by the Stage Austin is happening over at the Dougherty through the 29th. Vortex Summer Youth is doing, depending on which you read, it's either called The Memo or The Memorandum. And it's playing the 21st through the 29th. We've been talking about Zilker. They're doing Matilda. We had them on the show last week. They're playing through the 12th of August. And it's really comfortable out there at the hillside. I go every year. Let's see. All right. Lies, my nose is getting bigger. Small Steps by the Shroods is playing over at Hyde Park Theater. Opens on the 21st and plays through August 12th. Summerstock Austin this year. You know, they always do two shows in a movie now. And they are now part of Impact Arts. They're over at the Brockett or the McCullough, something at UT. They are associated with Texas Performing Arts now. They are doing Wizard of Oz and Grease. And I forgot the name of the film that's happening. But you can get more information about that from impactarts.org. At least one of them, Grease, I think, or Wizard of Oz, is playing the 22nd of July through the 12th of August. I don't know whether they're doing repertory as they've done in the past or whether they're going to do one and then the other. But they just had a sneak peek at a little place called Ground Floor Theater.
I've heard of it.
I have. And so I watched a little bit of all of that, including the film. And so it looks like a lot of fun. And Impact Arts and Ginger Morris does such a great job working with those kids. And we talked a little bit earlier about TAP Camp, which is Texas... I forgot what the TAP stands for, but that was Ginger Morris and Impact Arts. So impactarts.org. Let's see. Beyond August Productions is doing God of Carnage, which I just love that show. Has anybody seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. But
what's that face for? You just made people on the radio. He just made a face.
I just thought back to when the Gaslight at in Lockhart did.
Okay.
It, and I was like, I haven't seen it, but...
Who were guests on my show last week.
That's right.
And God of Carnage, that plays the 21st of July through the 13th at the Rosette Theater, which I've not seen, but it's in the, it was a school that was then AISD. It's in Hyde Park. And
right.
it's now a small little, evidently very beautiful and whatever the word that I'm trying to come up with, theater. It's a little tiny theater.
Intimate.
Intimate. That would be the word I would. Thank you, Patty Neftchivin.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
Darn nice of you. All right. So let's talk about today in theater history.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Oh, yeah.
There's not much history today.
Well, that was good.
There's a few birthdays. Of these people, I really only know one, and that's Helen Gallagher. Her birthday is today, July 19th. Clea Lewis. Anybody?
Nope.
Mark O'Donnell. He was born in 1954. He's 4 years older than me. And then Campbell Scott.
Oh, I know Campbell Scott.
I know that name. I couldn't tell you who. That's him right there on the...
Yeah, that's Campbell Scott. Yeah. Movies. He was in movies, too.
Yeah,
he's done a lot of theater. And
And then opening. We only had one opening on this date back in 1951. You remember that, Patty. was a show called Two on the Isle. Which was a...
I had opening night tickets, yeah.
You did. You were there. Which was a Condom and Green and Julie Stein thing starring Burt Lahr and Doris Gray. Do y'all know who Burt Lahr was?
This was in Wizard of Oz, wasn't he?
He was the Cowardly Lion.
Oh.
Who I was a little upset because I love the Wizard of Oz, I love the Cowardly Lion, but there was all sorts of schmoo going on in this production. Evidently, Burt Lahr and Dolores Gray did not like each other, and they were fighting who should get top billing. It was not good. Abe Burrows directed it, played at the Mark Hellinger Theater for 206 performances. It was really basically like an anthology of songs. Sort of like...
a song cycle.
Yeah, kind of sort a song of? Cycle, blah, blah, blah.
Songs for a New World is what you were trying to say?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, but I don't... speaking is not my strong suit. I'm not a native speaker. it's my mime background.
Quick, get her a radio show.
Anyway, it opened in 1951. I was not alive then. Anyway, by the way, to break the tie, of who got star billing. Abe Burrows, the director, broke the tie by threatening to quit if Burt Lahr was not the top billing.
If it gets results.
Amazing. Yes. Anyway, let's take a little break, and then we'll come back and learn all about what's going on down in San Marcos. And we're going to hear a little bit of If You Hadn't. It's called If You Hadn't, But You Did, from Two on the Isle, by aforementioned woman. I've already forgotten her name, who did not get top billing. We'll be right back.
As usual.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Patty and all sorts of other folks who we're going to reintroduce right now, and they are from the Broke Thespians Theater Company. We have Mitchell Oden, who is the technical director for this show, but is the president and co-founder of Broke Thespians Theater Company.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome.
Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy you're happy. Adrian Castanon Jr. is playing Charlie Bucket, mm-hmm. who gets the golden ticket.
1 of 5.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, because I engineer my own show, I have to castigate you right to your face. If it's so, I need y'all to get right up on this microphone and speak in your theater voices.
Gotcha.
Jack Monzingo, you're playing the Candyman and Phineas Trout.
Yes, I am.
Okay, as someone that's not like really good with Willy Wonka. Oh, I should say the name of the show is Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka. Not to be confused with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or which opened on Broadway, or Willy Wonka
or
and the Chocolate Factory.
Or the upcoming movie Wonka.
Or the upcoming movie. Very, so very different. That Roald Dahl may go somewhere if he keeps working on it. What was I going to say? Totally forgot. Mitchell, tell us about the show.
Yeah, so this is a second annual tradition that Broke Thespians is doing. We are a nonprofit community theater over in San Marcos, and this is our second annual tradition of putting on a summer musical in the park. That's for the community. It's for the family. Last year, it's funny that you talked about Wizard of Oz, because that's exactly what we did last year. We did the Wizard of Oz, and it was great, and it was a big success, so we wanted to do it again this year and really invest a lot of the community members, a lot of people who maybe don't get an opportunity, who stay in San Marcos, because it's a very college town, so people leave.
Yes, it is.
So the people who stay, we're like, you want to do a cool musical? And so yeah, we did Willy Wonka at the Plaza Park stage.
You were doing Willy Wonka.
Doing it currently. Yeah.
It's not in the past. It's actually happening right now.
In progress.
I'm just curious. Why Willy Wonka? Why now?
I think coming off of the fun of Wizard of Oz, we really hammered into the whimsicalness of it all. Mm-hmm. We are very family oriented. We like to have all the kids come out and come see it, families come and see it. Because again, in summer, the college kids leave and it kind of leaves San Marcos empty a little bit. And so we want to provide something for the San Marcos community. And we thought Willy Wonka is a great opportunity, not only for the student actors to come participate, but also to come see it.
Right. And also for Broke Thespians, I have to say, and we've talked about it a lot on this show, Texas State has one of the top musical theater programs in the country, in the top 10. And you're able to pull from those people, aren't you, for your talent?
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes people think we are part of the college. And while we love
the college. Like, what else is in San Marcos?
Right. But no, we're not part of the college. We are alumni. A lot of us who are involved and on the board are alumni. But no, we're not part of the college. But yeah, we promote ourselves all to the college. Mm-hmm. We like to sometimes be the, or sometimes we are the first opportunity or semi-professional opportunity people get outside of college. So we're okay. So happy to provide that for people.
So Adrian, you're playing Charlie, mm-hmm. Who Charlie wins Buck, the protagonist of the show, I would guess. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember the question I was going to ask before. I'm going to remember it again.
Okay.
It involves Adrian. Okay. Jack, sorry.
Never mind.
You're in a different
is.
Order than on my page. Tell us, so this is different and distinct, but is the storyline basically the same as what all of us are accustomed to?
For Willy Wonka, yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. Little boy down on his luck, wants to turn it around for his family. Wonka happens to be holding a contest. Lo and behold, he finds one of the tickets that is available to find.
It's a golden ticket.
Very golden ticket for a golden opportunity, and he joins the other five to tour the factory as they get picked off one by one, giving into temptation, leaving the good and pure little boy, Charlie Bucket, to inherit the chocolate factory.
It's Jack, a classic story.
Jack is not buying this. He's not
really.
That's great. And how does it feel to be playing, I try not to overuse this word, but in this case it is apropos, this iconic character.
It's very fun. I get to be, it's a nice little role model for the little teeny tinies that are there. You know, just the good old, good kid, you know?
Yeah.
Sweet, wants what's best for his family, and isn't, what's the word? Doesn't hold any animosity, you know?
Okay.
He has a very positive outlook, and it's nice to be able to just, you know, be happy.
Wonderful. And, Jack, you're playing Phineas Trout. I'm guessing that's one of the people that we get rid of.
So, Phineas Trout is actually the sort of eccentric newscaster who goes and talks to all of the terrible children.
Oh, okay.
His story is one of deep sadness. The intricacies that we brought in it with this show, I think. A lot of people will have a lot to enjoy from the Phineas Trout character.
Okay, well, lovely. How big is the cast?
We have 34 cast members.
Wow. That's big.
I think including crew, it's about 51.
My lord. Mm-hmm. Great. And this is a musical.
Yes.
Are you singing to a band?
No.
So we're going to track. Nothing wrong with that. It's totally good that you find that they actually play on pitch most of the time. So that's amazing. And tell us about the space that you're playing in on the amphitheater.
Yeah, so it's at Plaza Park. I don't think they call it an amphitheater, but I like to feel like we're all awesome and call it an amphitheater. But they do lots of shows on there. They do Sights and Sounds and Christmas, so they transform it, becomes a concert stage. And in the summer, they do concert series in the park. So every Thursday, they have a band playing. So this Thursday, they're going to have a brand new band playing. And we just thought that the theater was lacking. There wasn't really anything theater related. Lots of music. San Marcos is a huge music city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the stage, it's just a giant gazebo. Honestly, it's got big open walls. It's not
a double G, we call those.
It is not. You look at it and you go, no one in their right mind would do theater on this stage. And well, that's true. That's why they haven't.
Here we are.
So are you open? You know what? I don't have the dates on my sheet. Are you open now already?
Yes. We just finished our first opening weekend.
Okay. And when do you close?
We close July 29th.
29th, that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Okay, great. How's the show been received so far?
It's really good. I think we've seen the crowds improve from last year.
It's been a great turnout from the community, you know?
Wonderful.
We get to see a lot of families and all kinds of different people come out just to see the show.
Wonderful. We are plumb out of time. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Yeah, if they want to follow us on social media, we are at BrokeThespiansTheaterCompany.org.
Right.
If you want to visit the website, it's very challenging. But on social media, Broke Thespians Theater Company, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay. And do you have a website?
We do. It's www.BrokeThespiansTheaterCompany.org.
And theater is spelled incorrectly, right?
Yes, it's the R-E.
With E-R. Or R-E.
R-E.
No, it's spelled correctly.
Oh, great.
Oh. Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show, and good luck with the rest of your run.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Wonderful. Well, that was Mitchell Odin, Jack Monzingo, and Adrian Castanon Jr. with Broke Thespians Theater Company. Actually, I have it spelled your way, which is the right way.
Okay.
Their production of Willy Wonka the Musical closes on the 29th of July. For more information, BrokeThespiansTheaterCompany.org. I could not find a recording of this version of Willy Wonka, so I just went to Charlie and Chocolate Factory and chose Golden Ticket. We will be right back.
I've got a golden ticket.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Patty. We only have time to say goodbye, so thank you for being with me.
Oh, thank you for
Wait, I'm going to turn on your microphone.
There we
try
go.
That
That's
again.
Much better. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, great. We'll get you on again. So I'm just going to say that Austin Cooperative Hour is next. This week, it is Racism on the Levels with Stacey Frazier. And we will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. We will see you later. Bye.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd. His skin was pale and his eye was odd. He shaved the faces of gentlemen who never thereafter were heard of again. He trod a path that few have trod. Did Sweeney Todd.